Braylee Vance.
And I'm Tessa Williams.
And the title of this podcast series is What to Do, What to Do.
The title of the first episode in the series is called Hobophobia. So Braylee, for those at home who might not know what hobophobia means, could you please explain?
Well, hobophobia is basically just the fear of hobos. It's very self-explanatory. And you might think, I'm not afraid of hobos. But I think when it comes down to it, we're all a little bit apprehensive when someone comes up to us asking for money or if we see a homeless person on the side of the street. So we came up with some questions to ask each other about this topic. So Tessa, what experiences do you have with homeless people?
So one of the first experiences I had with a homeless person was back whenever I was younger. We were driving down in Dallas and everything. My parents were driving us around and everything. We were kind of just on a family vacation, and there were a bunch of people sleeping underneath the bridges. And so we kind of just asked our parents, you know, like, who are these people? And like, why are they sleeping under the bridges? Like, don't they have homes? And so, at a very young age, I was told what a homeless person was, and like what some of the circumstances could be for, people that are homeless and why they choose to live in those places and in those conditions and everything. So going off of that, a bit later in life, I kind of had some experiences of my own whenever I started driving. And it's been a frequent thing whenever, I would go to the city and everything. You know, you come up to a stoplight and there's always somebody just standing there, maybe with a dog or a cart of stuff, and they always just have a sign of, you know, saying, explaining their situation a little bit, and kind of just asking for any help that they can get. And whenever I was younger, it used to be more everybody was focused on asking for money, but now it's more just anything helps and everything helps kind of situation. So what are your experiences with like, people being on the sides of streets and everything and like asking for money? Have you ever dealt with that?
Yeah. I mean, I deal with it throughout the week, even here in college. Like I go to Walmart and there'll be either a family or like one person standing on the side of the road, with, like you said, with a sign asking like anything helps or like, cold and need food or something like that. And you know, as a college student, it's kind of like, well, I mean, I have the money that I make from work, but I also don't, it's not like I'm homeless, but I don't have like a whole lot of money to give myself either.
Yeah.
And the money that I do have, like, I work for. And so I don't know, like, do you think like it's bad for me to like kind of get frustrated sometimes when people ask me for money?
I mean, I don't think it's bad that you get frustrated, especially as a college student, because in the society we live in, obviously college is seen as something that's super expensive, and it causes a lot of people to go in debt for most of their lives while they're trying to pay off all their loans and everything. So I think it's, you know, it's okay for people to become frustrated whenever others are asking for money. And especially if like you have a serving heart and you want to help out, but maybe you don't have enough money and so you're frustrated kind of at the situation, or maybe you're just frustrated that somebody could be asking you for money just because you don't want to give them money. But I mean, I don't think it's really necessarily like a bad thing to be frustrated at that.
I mean, I have multiple different like circumstances I've been in where like some are better, where I don't feel like the person was trying to manipulate me. And then there's times where I feel like I've been lied to when people ask me for certain things.
Yeah.
Like, for example, one time I was walking around downtown and this lady came up and was asking for money because she wanted to go and get some food for herself. And so I was like, yeah, sure. Like, but I can take you there and like buy you a sandwich. And then she no longer wanted help anymore after that. And I was just like, you know, okay. I mean, I guess she wanted money for something else. And then, like, later, a man came up to me. And, well, he didn't really come up to me. He was just walking by. And, like, I turned and, like, smiled, you know, Mm-hmm. I didn't even think that he was homeless. I just thought he was a normal person, just, like, smiled at him as he walked by and kept going. And then, like, he turned around and he was like, "You must not be from here." And I was just like, "No, I'm not." And he, like, asked me where I was from and started a conversation. And, like, I thought he was just a nice guy trying to talk to me. And then later, like, tried to manipulate it to where he was asking for money for a ticket for the train to go somewhere. And, you know, like, same thing. Like, I like to take people to the place to know that they're, like, using my money for the right, for, like, what they're saying they're using it for.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't want to walk with us there. So I was just kind of like, okay, so he doesn't want the money for that. And, you know, like, what's the right thing to do in those circumstances? Like, you know, I want to know the need and then meet the need, but, like, sometimes I feel like they just want to lie to get money for another reason.
I mean, I think one of the better things you can do in that circumstance is definitely pray about it before you act on anything, obviously, because you never know what kind of things or what situations the devil might try to throw at you to try to throw you off course. But I think it's also important that maybe if you feel as though they do want that help, but maybe they just don't feel comfortable walking with you or something, like there's some other random reason behind it, you could always go and get that thing for them and bring it back to them. Or, you know, just kind of if they don't want to accept it or they don't want to go with you or whatever, just ask them if they're being legitimate in their needs or if they're telling you that they're just wanting money. And they're just, you know, coming up with a scenario for why they could want this money, even though that's not the reason they want it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to know if they're telling the truth or not. And it's important to know that before you just go out and hand people money. Because whenever I was growing up, my mom figured out that somebody who claimed to be homeless was actually living like a really wealthy lifestyle, and he had a family and a home, and so he would just dress up in the mornings and put on a bunch of old clothes that he had found at like Goodwill or something, and he just didn't wash them, so he always smelled kind of weird, but he would just put them on in the morning and then go stand out on a street like corner and just ask people for money and then walk back over to his car and go home to a really nice big house with a family and everything, after making hundreds of dollars just standing on the side of the road, even though he already had a whole lot of money saved and was obviously not living like on the side of the street and everything. So I think it's important to know who you're giving money to before you give it to them. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely important for like you to not put yourself into harm's way in those kinds of situations. So if you were maybe by yourself with that man and walking with, it was only you and him walking to the train station to buy his ticket or something, if something bad were to happen and everything, like that was in a sense your doing because, you know, you offered to help, but like you went alone with him. So like you also have to be cautious about not putting yourself out there to where it would come back and hurt you and everything. So back to what I said a minute ago, like definitely like pray about what you're doing before you do it. And make sure that that's something that God wants you to do and a situation that God wants you to help out in, mm-hmm. instead of just applying yourself where it's not necessarily needed, I guess. But yeah. All right. So going back to the scenarios that you were talking about earlier, how did you know that the people you were talking to either were or weren't homeless? Like what kinds of questions did you ask and what did they say that made you kind of come to the realization that these people either were being legit or weren't?
Well, normally the question that I'll get asked, like, if someone comes up to me and is homeless and is needing something, they'll just ask for money. And I've always been taught, you know, to find the need and then meet the need. And, you know, they might want money, but that's not their need, like, in the long run. They actually are wanting something. And so my first reaction is to ask what they need and like let them answer the question, and you know if it's something that I can get them right then like I'll offer to get it for them, like for them to come with me and me get it. Like if it's food that like they're hungry then I'll be like, well, okay, yeah, let's go into this restaurant and, like, I'll buy you a sandwich. And, you know, after asking that question, then they'll either, like, respond and be, like, grateful that I, like, offered to get them a sandwich and, like, come with me. Or, like, the opposite reaction is that they're no longer interested because they just wanted the money for something else.
Yeah. So what do you do in that situation whenever they kind of just say, like, oh, never mind? Do you just drop it, or do you kind of further interrogate them to figure out, like, what they're wanting the money for?
That's a really hard question, because my first reaction is to get upset, you know, that they lied initially, because, you know, now they're kind of caught in it and they don't want to tell you what they actually need at that point, because they might be embarrassed about it. And so, like, keep asking them the questions. Like, if they're embarrassed that they wanted to go buy a drink or, like, a pack of cigarettes with the money that you give them, then they probably still don't want to tell you that after that point. And so, like, I think asking them more questions would kind of make the situation worse. But also, like, you kind of feel bad because you still want to meet their needs. Like, obviously they're in a bad place if they're asking you for help. And so, I mean, I guess it comes down to the question, like, what is, like, the godly thing to do whenever you're approached by someone that is asking for help? Like, what would Jesus do? Like, what do you think is the best thing to do that's, like, in sync with what you think Jesus would do?
Yeah. Okay. So, to kind of reiterate that, like, asking what would Jesus do in that situation and everything, and, like, my personal experience with that is kind of more on, like, you know, how would Jesus respond? And I see Jesus as, you know, asking the person, what do they really want it, the money for, but kind of going about it in a loving manner, and not just kind of attacking them, like, oh, no, what do you really want? But kind of just being like, okay, so do you actually want food, or are you just wanting the money so you can go get something for, you know, yourself? Or is it something that, like, is this really a need, or is this more of your just wanting money? Like, are you actually sitting here begging, or kind of are you just, I don't know, asking the questions just to see who you can get money off of randomly in the streets? So I wonder if maybe some of those people are targeting maybe new faces that they don't really see all that often. Maybe they are out on the streets in the same location for, you know, weeks or months on end, and they see a new face that is possibly a tourist, and maybe they're watching, you know, and seeing the way that you respond to things, and, you know, kind of targeting different people. And so in those situations, I think it's, you know, going back to what I said earlier, it's important to, you know, kind of pray about it and make sure that God is wanting you to, you know, further the situation instead of, or, like, further help the situation, instead of, you know, just kind of ignoring the person or acting like you can't hear them and running away from them or something, you know?
I think also, like, Jesus wouldn't just want to meet that need right then. He would, like, want to meet the needs that are gonna, like, come in the future. Like, if someone's asking for food right then, like, my first reaction, like, yeah, I want to buy them a sandwich right then, but also I think after I leave, like, how is this going to help them later, because they're still going to be on the street tomorrow asking for food later, you know what I mean? And so I think Jesus, it would be like, how can I, like, help them to, like, get out of this pit that they're in, like, building a relationship with them, which is kind of hard for us sometimes, because let's say you're out of town somewhere and, like, you see someone, it's hard to follow up with them after that point. And so all you can do is love them in that moment. I guess it would be different with someone who actually was, like, in your area that you see, like, regularly.
Yeah. And I think definitely one of the things that you could probably do that would help out, even if you are somewhere, like, only temporarily, maybe you're on vacation or something, and you see somebody who really is in need, and so maybe you go and buy them a sandwich or something, but then you could also go and follow through with that and tell them that you'll be back in, you know, like, 20 minutes, or, like, give them a little bit of time And then just run to the store and go get them, like, maybe some peanut butter and some bread, or, you know, different things like that that won't go bad automatically, and especially that won't go bad maybe in outside environments and everything, because, you know, they don't have a fridge, so you don't want to get them, like, milk or something that would spoil. But you could definitely, like, get them crackers or, you know, a bag of chips or, you know, like, something small that would last them for the rest of the day or maybe even the next few days and everything. But that would also be a way to, like, kind of follow up with those people that maybe you're only going to see in a week span or in a few days or, you know, like, something like that. But I do think that what you said about, like, getting to know the person and kind of building a relationship with them and seeing what got them into that mess and seeing, like, how you can help them in the future, and how you can help them kind of get back on their feet and everything and kind of show them who God is and what he did for people and what Jesus did for people back in biblical times and everything, because, you know, Jesus dealt with the homeless and dealt with so many different things, and so you're just showing them the love that Jesus showed them. So then that's kind of also a segue into talking about their faith and what they believe, and introducing them to God if they've maybe never heard of him before. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Okay, so Braylee, I know that we had talked a little bit about you know, you serving with a homeless organization. So what is the ministry that you work for and volunteer for, and what is y'all's end goal and everything? Like, how do you approach those situations and everything?
So the ministry that I work with is called Hunger for Love. I got plugged in there because one of my classes, small group communication that I have with Jeff Sorrells, we're put in small groups and we have to go serve somewhere together and then kind of figure out a problem with the organization and then help them solve the problem. So we drive over to Tyler. It's held underneath a bridge there, and basically everyone that's not necessarily homeless, but like people who have needs, who don't have much money or don't have access to food all the time, they come in, gather underneath the bridge. And so they also partner with an organization called Jesus Closet. So that's the first thing that we got to help with, and basically they take donations from, I guess, churches in the area and anybody else who wants to donate. They'll, like, publicize about it online and through social media. And so basically what they do is set up all these different stands for them to come basically just shop, and they're allowed to get 2 outfits per person, and they have, like, shoes, socks. Sometimes they'll have extra things that people will just donate just because, like, 1 week that we went, there was, in the past, a girl who had asked for a walker for her mom because she can't walk and they don't have the money to buy a walker, and someone had donated a walker that past weekend, and so they got to give that to her while we were there, and it was really cool. And then after that, they got to go over to the Hunger for Love ministry, and they feed them all breakfast, donuts and coffee and milk, stuff like that. And then they have a worship service where they'll have a speaker and then someone sing. And it's just really cool that, like, not only are they meeting, like, their physical needs that they have, but also, like, sharing the gospel with them, because that's something that's eternal and not just, like, something that's going to help them for that day. And then after breakfast, they feed them, like, a bigger breakfast after donuts. They have, yeah, biscuits with, like, gravy or, like, whatever they have for that week. And then after that, they have packed lunches for them to take with them. So it's just a really cool way to, like, show them that they love them and that they have that every single week. Whether it's raining outside, if it's, like, 30 degrees, they're always there, because even though it's uncomfortable for, like, the privileged people to go out in the cold, they're like, you know, it's easy for us to complain about that, but that's something that some of them, like, live in every day. And so, like, rain or shine, they're gonna have that for them, because, you know, some of them depend on that meal for their week and, like, for their kids.
Yeah,
really cool ministry.
So In serving for this ministry and everything, have you come into any circumstances that have maybe enabled you to kind of plug the ministry in a way? Like, have you run into, which I know you said it was in Tyler, so that's kind of far from ETBU, but have you run into any of those homeless people that maybe don't know about the ministry? Have you been able to talk to people about it that would maybe need it, or have you spoken about it to maybe friends who know people who would be close to that, who could end up going there and getting the help that they need? Or has it kind of just been like something that you've been able to help out with and maybe not had any outside experiences that have led to anything else?
Well, Helen Sperling, who is in our class, she helps, I think she works in Tyler. And so, like, the lady at the church that she works with hooked us up with this ministry. And so, like, she told us we need 10 hours for the class of service. And so, like, with this, you get to go for, like, multiple hours while you're there to serve them. Even though it's an hour drive, like, you stay there for a while, so it's kind of worth it. Plus, they have a Torchy's Tacos in Tyler. So the coolest thing about that ministry is that they not only met the need for that day, but they kind of got the people on track for life by seeing what needs they had outside of just the ministry.
Yeah.
So, Tessa, I know that you had an experience in New York with a homeless person that you couldn't necessarily follow up with. So how was that and how did you respond?
Okay, so that experience, it was me and my younger sister, and we were with our parents on vacation to go visit some friends that we had taken, or we had bought tickets to go on a subway, but we missed the first one because we didn't really understand how to read the tickets, you know, we're from Texas, we don't know how to read those kinds of things all the time, so it was kind of new territory, but we were down in the subway, and it was after midnight. And we had decided to go back up above, you know, onto the streets of New York, I guess, because we didn't want to stay down. We didn't feel very safe down in the subway. So we were walking out, and on our way, this bigger guy was kind of at the machine to get a ticket and everything for a subway, and he just kind of yelled at us from like maybe 20 yards away and was asking if we had any money and everything and like any extra cash that we could give him for this train ticket. And we had said no because, you know, we didn't really have any extra cash. We were on vacation and it was one of our last days there. But we also just didn't feel safe carrying cash. And so we just kept using my parents' debit card. And so whenever he had asked, we just said no, and we kept walking because that's what my dad had told us to do. And this guy had started yelling at us and said that we were just too privileged to help him out and everything. And so I'm not sure that he was necessarily homeless, but I do know that in the way that he went about asking for money, that was the wrong way to do it because he automatically just assumed that we were the worst people ever because we weren't giving him money, and he started yelling at us and kind of attacking us with his words. And so it was kind of just a rough situation in general, but we just kind of, I looked to my dad for advice on that because, you know, I was back in high school at the time. And so he just kind of told us to keep walking. And then he kind of had me and my younger sister walk in front of him and everything. That way, in case of the guy, you know, decided to do anything, we weren't put into harm's way. But it was kind of a learning experience, just because we didn't know what to do in that situation. And one of the things I want to do in life is travel, And so whenever, if I'm ever faced with that situation again, like, I'll kind of know how to handle it, but, you know, maybe, especially, like, in our talking and everything, maybe I'll have a better understanding of what I can do personally, and maybe I can follow up on that person, or maybe, you know, I can ask them, like, do you really need the money if you're just gonna turn and start yelling at me if I tell you no the first time? Like, you know, something like that. But I think I definitely have a better understanding of how to approach the situation in general, and how to talk to people about that and everything. But yeah, so that was kind of my experience and everything.
So I think a lot of times we think about homeless people and then we compare, like, how would I respond if I was put in that same place? Like, if I one day just, like, became homeless, like, I was either, like, kicked out of my parents' home or, like, you know, something just happened where you lost your job or something like that.
Yeah.
I think our first reaction is to say, like, all the things that we could do better than, like, the homeless people that we see. Mm-hmm. And we don't really consider, like, you know, people who are homeless probably don't want to stay the way, like, in the place that they're in. Like, if they could, they would be, like,
yeah,
working on a job, like, trying to turn their life around.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lot harder than we kind of perceive it to be,
mm-hmm,
in our minds because of, like, the, I guess, privileges that we have, you know? Like, I can go work in Longview because I have a car to drive over there, like, you know, 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And, like, I have money for gas to drive over there. But we don't really think about, like, oh, this homeless person, like, you know, if they don't have a car, like, they have to find somewhere to stay at during the night. Like, if they don't have a phone, then they're going to have to, like, have access to a clock to know what time to get to work. Like, there's a lot of factors that I think we don't consider.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think part of, you know, the homeless community, they definitely, like, I would say in today's society, some of them have it easier, and some of them might have it harder,
mm-hmm,
because they're, especially, like, homeless people in bigger cities and everything, gas stations and everything. I've seen a few that have started having showers and stuff, and so,
mm-hmm,
they can go in and sign up for a time slot and everything. And if they have clothes, then some of those gas stations also have, you know, a washer and a dryer, and it's kind of all done out of donations from other people. Is how those gas stations keep it running and everything. But, you know, for maybe somebody who becomes homeless out in the country or something, or maybe they're not close to one of those places or one of those cities that has that, I definitely do think it's hard because, you know, you're not just going to have so many people be willing to let them into their house so they can shower and, you know, not smell bad from being outside 24/7. And, you know, if you can't shower and you can't, you know, smell decent, then it's hard to just walk into any place and just, you know, go interview for a job because, you know, nobody wants to hire somebody that, you know, smells bad or anything. But so I think it's like partially it is starting to get easier, and especially with people creating awareness for that and trying to help out and, you know, obviously donating money and time and their service, kind of like what you were saying with your service that you're helping out with and everything. Like, if we have more organizations like that starting to come up and everything, then that'll definitely, I think, help out those people who are in need, kind of get back on their feet because, you know, we don't think about, oh, well, you know, just go in and get a job because, you know, they can't drive, as you said, if they don't have a car, and they can't walk, you know, 20 miles in, you know, just one day and everything. You know, you have to think about the time of day that they're going, and, you know, they might not have something that wakes them up in the morning, so they don't have an alarm, or, you know, they don't know how late it is at night except for the sun coming up and going down. But, you know, there's so many different factors that we don't think about because we are kind of privileged in those ways of, you know, not having to worry about those things. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, I think it is something that needs to be brought to more people's attention, to kind of create more awareness for those people, and kind of to help them out. And, you know, as you said earlier, to follow through with them and to make sure that they're getting, you know, the attention and the love that, you know, Jesus has, for others, from you and everything. Like, that way they're understanding that, you know, somebody out there does care about them and they care about their well-being, and they want them to succeed in life. They don't want them to just, you know, continue living in a rut and everything, because, you know, nobody wants to live like that. You know, we're such a money-driven society, and so nobody, you know, really wants to live, you know, in those conditions where you don't have AC or you don't have, you know, running water or something. And I know that that's something that's very much, you know, the culture of first world countries and everything. Like, not every country has that. But obviously, just speaking for the homeless people in this society, like, they see all of these things because, you know, they're walking around and seeing people driving their cars around and seeing all of these, you know, younger people maybe going out with their friends and hanging out and, like, getting to buy all of this, like, really cool stuff. And, you know, they don't get to do that. So it's kind of a discouraging thing. But I do think that if we kind of share or spread awareness for that, that it'll slowly but surely start to get easier for some of those people to kind of get out of their rut and everything.
So to finish this off, we came up with some solutions to real life scenarios that could happen to every one of us. So the first one is a homeless person is on the side of the road. What do you do? And so I can go ahead and start it off and then you can give your answer. So let's say this is someone who has a sign, they're asking for food or just like anything will help. I think this is the time I used to do this. I used to keep crackers in my car to just like hand to them because, you know, if you're at a red light, then you kind of need something that's going to be quick. And yeah. So like either having, yeah, like crackers, some type of snack, or like a $5 gift card to like a fast food place, then those are easy things to do, just like in the moment when you can't help with the long-term needs.
Yeah, that's something I definitely used to do. And I also used to keep like spare change and everything, mostly just quarters, in the like little console in between, the seats in my car. Mm-hmm. And so I would kind of just, you know, hear them out on what they needed money for or like what they were wanting. And usually I would ask, you know, do they want some food or something? Like if I'm in a car and I'm driving somewhere, and I have a few extra minutes, I'll be like, yeah, I can go and get you something and bring it right back. And I've had to do that a few times. And I've given a few people like, you know, burgers or different things like that. But I've also just given them, you know, like $2 or something to, kind of, you know, give them a little bit to where they could go walk over to maybe McDonald's and get something off the dollar menu. But yeah, keeping, like crackers in your car, I've heard of people doing that before. And that seems to really, you know, help. And, like especially giving somebody like, you know, a $5 gift card to somewhere, like, those are things that, you know, yeah, it could be something that you could eat or you could have or whatever. But if you are giving it to somebody else who needs it more than you do, then that's, you know, rewarding in more than just one way. But yeah.
Yeah. So, next. The second one was a homeless person asking you for money, let's say, like, downtown or something like that. So, mm-hmm. you're just walking around and someone is asking you for money. So, for me, like, this is a time when I would, you know, ask them, well, I mean, you know, they say they need money, but, like, what do you actually need? Like, are you hungry or, you know?
Yeah.
And so, once they answer, like, sometimes they'll say, yeah, I want a sandwich, then, like, that's when I'll offer to, like, go with them. And if they don't, then, you know, I try not to, try to stay away from giving people just money.
Yeah.
Just because you can't control the way that they use it, but.
Yeah. Definitely whenever people walk up to, me, like, especially in a downtown area, I always kind of question what their intentions are with the money, if that's what they're asking for, but I always try to ask if they, you know, do want food or if they're, you know, if they want a blanket or if they're wanting, you know, clothes or something. And maybe, you know, I have an extra jacket or something in my car that maybe I'm not using. But like giving them small things like that to just let them know that, you know, you care about the situation and everything. And maybe you don't have a lot to give. But there's always like, there's always something you can do or something you can say that can kind of help anybody out. Or, yeah. in that situation, I haven't dealt with that too much with people walking up to me, just being downtown, but, I have had a few situations where I kind of just followed through with, okay, do you want something to eat? And okay, well, I'll walk with you to, you know, this place, or I'm standing outside of a coffee shop. Do you want a coffee? Or do you want something, like a drink or a water or something, you know, probably a little bit better for you. but you know, there's always something you can do, even if it's just, you know, letting them know that you are here for them.
Mm-hmm. That's really a time though where like, yeah, you might be busy, but also like you're not in a car where like you're about to drive away. This is a time where you could like find out more of their needs than just like the initial here, take this, because I'm about to drive away, you know?
Yeah.
So, cool. The last one is, like, when someone comes up to your car, what do you do? And so, let's say, like, someone comes up and they're, like, asking you to roll your window down. Like, what are your experiences with that?
So, I've dealt with this, actually, in a Walmart parking lot. and that was my first experience with it, anyways. But I kind of was hesitant to roll down my car window just because it was only me in the car, and my car's kind of small and not very sturdy, I would like to say, because, you know, it's a little thin and whatnot. But I kind of just rolled down my car window a little bit and just kind of asked them what they were wanting, and just kind of let them explain themselves. But I've had a few people do that and say, like, hey, I need help. Like, usually, or whenever it happened to me, it's happened a few times, though, but it's usually I'll be somewhere around a gas station, and they'll be walking around asking people for a little bit of extra money so they can put gas in their car so they can travel, you know, the rest of their way and everything. Maybe they didn't have enough money on their own to get fully to their destination, and so, you know, I sat there and, you know, ran my debit card and then filled their tank for them, and then, you know, put it back to where that way I knew that where my money was going was strictly for gas and everything. And so, like, that's kind of all that I've really had to deal with, in people coming up to my car. But I think in those situations, you kind of just have to, you know, be willing to hear them out, but also, you know, don't like, you know, roll your window down all the way to where they could, you know, pull you out of the car and like steal your car or something. But like, you know, just kind of like roll it down a few inches, and just, you know, enough to let them know that you are being cautious, but also to know that you are wanting to hear them out and hear what they're what they have to say and everything. But do you have any experiences with people doing that to you, maybe?
Yeah, the only time that I've ever experienced this was when I went to the bank one time in Bossier. I went to Chase. I was going through to make a deposit into my account, and as soon as I pulled out, this man walked up to my car and he was asking me to roll my window down. And just like you, I was a little bit hesitant because, you know, what is this man doing? Like, it's kind of intrusive when someone asks you to roll your window down because you're just kind of minding your own business, and then it's kind of unexpected. And so, you know, like you, I just kind of rolled it down a little bit and I was like, you know, what do you need? And he was like, well, me and my buddies, like, we're needing a hotel to stay in tonight. Like, isn't there any way that I can get $30? And I was just like, well, I just made a deposit. Like, I don't have any cash, but, you know, I just kind of felt stuck in that situation. Like, I didn't know a way out. And so what I did was, like, he knew that I had money because I just went to the bank, and that was smart of him to like stand out of there outside of it, you know, but it was also kind of frustrating. I was like, okay. And so I drove back around, got $30, and like I gave him the money, and I'm not sure that was the best thing to do in that circumstance. And when I told my dad, he was upset with me. He told me like what I should have done is called him and he could have taken them to the hotel to buy them a room. But and you know, he was probably right that wasn't the best thing to do because, you know, I have no idea what he used that money on. And in that moment, like, all I could do was just pray that, you know, he was using it for like the reason that he said. But
yeah,
you know, So I could have handled it differently, but I didn't. But
yeah. I mean, I think it's kind of, you know, it's different for every person, obviously, and every situation is going to be different. And so there's no real, like, yes, this is the right way, like, no, this is the wrong way to do things. But I think it's kind of just based on your experience, and what you feel comfortable doing and what you feel God is calling you to do, in each situation. So, you know, I don't think we have to have all of the answers, but I think it's cool to learn from each other's experiences, and how those people maybe reacted to us and everything. Because I mean, going back to those people you talked about at the beginning, just asking them simple questions and, you know, figuring out like, oh, okay, if I walk with you and everything, you know, we can go get this. But if they decline it, you know, maybe they don't want the money for that specific thing because they're now all of a sudden, you know, not wanting it just because you're going to go with them and see them through on that, you know, want and everything. So, I think it's cool to learn from other people's experiences, and it's, you know, kind of important to learn from those, just because, you know, everyone, you know, handles things in their own way, but, you know, there's never really a right or wrong way to do things, or a way to, you know, go about these kinds of situations, just as long as, you know, you're staying true to who you say you are, and, you know, doing what God calls you to be. I think there's not really a wrong way to handle this situation, as long as you're following those things, but...
Mm-hmm. That's all for today on What to Do, What to Do. Catch us next time.
If you have any other topics you would like us to discuss awkwardly, then please let us know.
Bye-bye.
Bye.